When we become a Christian, we may take on problems that we never had before. It may be family dislikes to the fact that we go to church and we're a Christian. For some Christians, of course, in many countries of the world, it can mean persecution. It can mean loss of livelihoods. It can mean your house is burnt to the ground or your church is destroyed, as what is happening in Nigeria, for example. So when we become a Christian, we may take on various problems. Now, one problem that the Christian has is the problem of unanswered prayer. You pray and nothing happens. You pray again, perhaps, and still nothing happens. Now, that's not because there is no God. The Bible is quite clear that atheism is foolish. In Psalm 14, it says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." So it's not that there's no God, but I want to give to you tonight roughly about 15 reasons why sometimes our prayers are not answered. Now, don't panic, you won't be late home, because we have a long journey, so we want to be around, we get away on time, but don't worry, we're going to move through this. You may not follow all the scriptures that I'm going to turn to. But now, let's look first of all at an Old Testament example of unanswered prayer. And we saw that in Elijah's prayer in 1 Kings 19. Elijah had had enough. He was fed up. He was depressed. He really had had enough. And he said this. He himself went on a day's journey into the wilderness, and he came and sat down under a juniper tree. He requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." That was his prayer. "Lord, take away my life." And we read that he fell asleep under the juniper tree. Now, did God answer his prayer? Not a bit of it. God had other plans for him. And suddenly, as he looked, there an angel touched him. Now, I like the King James Version. It says, "Behold, an angel touched him." I like that word, "behold." It often pops up in the King James Bible. "Behold, an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat." And as he looked, there was a cake baked on the coals, a cruse of water, and he did eat and drink and lay down again. And then the angel touched him a second time and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you." And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. So there we see a prayer that wasn't answered in the way he wanted it to be answered. Now, in the New Testament, we looked into 2 Corinthians chapter 12, a very familiar passage, no doubt, to us, concerning Paul's thorn in the flesh. Now, we don't quite know what this thorn in the flesh really was, but it was something anyway. And he said, "There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." God had allowed Satan to buffet him. But now what does he say in verse 8? "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice," three times, "that it might depart from me." Did it? No. God said no. God said this, "My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." And sometimes, perhaps if we go through a time of trouble, it might be illness or something like that, and we pray and God doesn't seem to answer, there may be a good reason. He may have something better for us in our lives. So when we start to consider some of the reasons why God doesn't always answer our prayers. I want to turn first of all to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. And it says this: this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask. We know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. But it's got to be in accordance with his will. Now, in Elijah's case, it wasn't God's will that he should die under the juniper tree. And so God sent an angel in his providence. And here we have to understand that our prayers must be answered, will be answered according to the will of God. Now, I know that discerning the will of God is not always easy. How do we discern the will of God? Well, we may find a scripture verse that springs out and speaks to us. Or we might consult our pastor or elder or whatever, and they may advise us perhaps, and we may be able to discern the will of God. We need to pray very much concerning the will of God. Is it God's will for this for me? Is it God's will for that for me? Is it God's will for me to go and be a missionary? Or is it God's will for me to stay here and work for the Lord here? And so we have to understand, for our prayers to be answered, they have to be within the will of God. Secondly, we need to pray in faith. Mark 11:22. Jesus said to them, "Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." We need faith that God will answer our prayers, but again, according to his will. Now, we don't take everything in the Bible literally. We don't pray that mountains will just disappear or anything like that. But this is just an illustration that Jesus is using, that God often can do what we might think is not possible. He is the God of the impossible, and he can answer our prayers if we are praying in faith, if we are believing in faith. Believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. God will not answer our prayers if we don't forgive others. Perhaps someone, we've fallen out with somebody or something like that, or we have a grudge against somebody, and if we don't put that right, well then God is not necessarily going to answer our prayers. Another reason why God doesn't always answer our prayers is this: because we ask for the wrong reasons. James 4:3, "You ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts." Or a more modern translation would say, "You ask and receive not because you want it for your own pleasures." It's no good praying, "Dear Lord, send me $5,000 so I can have a holiday in Florida." Now, I don't think God is going to answer that prayer. Do you? For wrong motives. We cannot pray for something for our pleasures. We can pray for a need. Now, the Bible says, "My God shall supply all your need through his riches in Christ Jesus." Not your wants, but your need. It talks about here about being an adulterer with the world. "Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." If we are worldly in our outlook, if we are worldly in our relationships, if we are worldly in the way that we live, is God going to answer our prayers? When the devil attacks, we can resist him in prayer. Verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Humble yourselves, it says in verse 10, in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. So we mustn't pray for wrong reasons or dubious motives. And then all prayers must be through Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Bible says there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. A few weeks ago, Pope Francis, in Catholic World Youth Day in Portugal, encouraged 15,000 young people to pray to the Virgin Mary. They did. He hasn't read his Bible. No, we shouldn't pray to the Virgin Mary or the saints. No, we pray to the Father through Jesus, the one mediator between God and men. He's our great high priest who ever lives to intercede for us. Jesus is seated at God's right hand, and there he is until he comes again, there interceding for us. We pray only through Jesus. Now, it may not be politically correct to say that these days. No. There are those who say, well, there are all sorts of ways to God. You can be a Muslim and find your way to God, or you can be a Hindu and find your way to all these other gods and so on. No, there's only one way, and there's only one God, and that one way is through the Lord Jesus Christ. So we do see a situation like that today. It's not always easy, is it? But we must only pray through Jesus. And then there must be right relationships within our families. In 1 Peter 3:7, there's a word to husbands here. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honour unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. Then it says this, that your prayers be not hindered. Your prayers be not hindered. If husbands are not dealing with their wife in the right way, their prayers can be hindered. And I guess it will work the other way around as well. So there's a word for you husbands here. Give honour unto your wife as unto the weaker vessel. And then if God is going to answer our prayers, there must be no sin in active in our lives. Psalm 66 verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Simple as that. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now, as a Christian, if we do sin, it's not the end of the world, because the Bible says if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we must not have sin in our hearts. And if we are to pray effectively, we are to pray in the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So we are to pray always in the Spirit, under the guidance and inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And we are to persevere, it says here, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Sometimes perhaps if our prayer isn't answered, we give up. But no, we are to persevere and to pray for various things, including, of course, to pray for the saints. We are to remain in Christ, and his word is to abide in us. John 15, verse 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified. We have to abide in Christ, and his words abide in us. Ask what you will, and it will be done unto you. We are to also have a godly fear, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. We must have godly fear. Now, that doesn't mean to be afraid of God. It means to respect, to honour him. He's a holy God, and we must remember that when we come in prayer to him, that he is a holy God. And we must remember that, and remember that all that he has done for us. And then we must have no idols. No idols. I want to read six verses from Ezekiel 14 at this point. See, Ezekiel 14. Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of them at all? Therefore speak unto them and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of idols, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, Repent, and turn yourselves from your idols, and turn away your faces from all abominations. What about our modern day idols? No, we don't bow down to statues and stuff like that, do we? But do we have idols in our lives? We live in an amazing age of technology. And we have computers and smartphones and all these wonderful gadgets today that help us in our lives. There's nothing wrong with them. There's nothing wrong with computers or the internet. There's nothing wrong with smartphones, as long as they don't become idols. And as I wander about, I see people, especially young people, they're glued to their phones all the time. And those phones become idols. I even know Christian young people who forever seem to be glued to their phones, or they're playing computer games on their phones. These things, these modern electronic idols, can hinder our prayers and our spiritual growth. So let's remember that. The modern day idols that there are around. We are to love one another if God is to answer our prayers. We are to love one another. 1 John 3 verse 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments. Notice that. And do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given to us. So we are to love one another. And lastly, last point, Jesus gave us some guidance as to how or what we can pray. And that, of course, is the Lord's Prayer. Very much well-known prayer there is, the Lord's Prayer. prayer. And it says here this is important, but before we come to the Lord's Prayer, it says this: when thou prayest, enter into thy closet or room. When thou prayest, go into your room, and when thou shut the door, pray to your Father which is in secret, and your Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Now there is a place, of course, for corporate prayer like we have tonight in church. There is a place for that, but there is also a place for secret prayer. When we're shut away, make sure we're not interrupted by the phone ringing or anything like that, where we have a secret time of prayer with God, maybe with our husband or wife, or maybe on our own, but we are praying there in secret. This is what God says we are to do here. We're not to use vain repetitions, we're not to make long prayers. I know a dear brother, I won't say what church he goes to, a dear brother, and when he prays, he preaches a sermon in his prayers, you know, and his prayers about 20 minutes long. Never mind. We have to be careful not to use too much vain repetition. But then Jesus says this. He says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. Well, now, we're going to close the service after the next hymn. We're going to close the service. I'm going to read what Jesus said as our final prayer tonight in Matthew chapter 6. Okay, so we're going to stop there. There are some of the reasons, maybe not all the reasons, but at least there's about 15 of them there, why God sometimes doesn't answer our prayers. Okay, I hope you might find that useful and interesting. These are the laws, if you like, of prayer. Just like you have laws when you drive your car on the road, you have certain laws you have to keep, and there are laws with prayer that we need to keep for God to bless us and for God to hear us. Well, may God bless this to us.